Hey, welcome into Positive Light, where we're trying to bring a positive influence into your life and into this world. Hi, I'm Bob Miles, and today's subject is going to be on joy, which I really believe we need to hear about this today. Because we're living in under unusual times. Lots of things are happening, lots of changes which can cause stress and a magnitude of other things. Where's your joy today? Is it strained or not even there? We need joy in our lives. So joy, it's a short but a powerful word. Joy is more like a deep abiding. Webster Dictionary defines joy as the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. The definition leaves something lacking, though. However, Rick Warren states, joy is a settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life. The quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. You'll never find happiness in pleasure, power, possessions, positions, or prestige. You also won't find it in success, sex, salary, or status. Those are all just temporary. Permanent, ongoing happiness only comes when you give your life away in service. God wired you to give your life away. Why? Because God wants you to be more like Him. Most people don't know this, but there are secrets to joy. And you can find both of these secret pathways to joy through service. And here's the way to find joy. Get your mind off yourself. The more you focus on yourself, the more miserable you will become. To find real joy, you must shift from an inward focus, that's all about me, to an outward focus, that's all about God and serving others. Of course, this is a countercultural. Our society screams that it's all about you. But the Bible says, I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy out of Philippians 2:17. The truth is, the most helpful people are the happiest people. Use your gifts to help others. It feels good to use your gifts to help others. The Bible says God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another out of 1 Peter 4:10. God blesses you so you can bless others. When you bless others, God will bless you. If you're struggling through a lack of joy in your life, try serving people in your community and in your church. Then watch God change your perspective. So here's a good story about an old man's joy. Everyone has their own personal outlook on life. Many of us don't choose it. We just follow our feelings, shaped by circumstance and experience. Others decide to choose what their outlook will be and follow their minds instead. The man in the story shows us that it takes some wisdom to be able to live happily. A 92-year-old man, very well presented, who took great care of his appearance, was moving into an old people's home one day. His wife of 70 years had recently died, and he was obliged to leave his home. After waiting several hours in the retirement home lobby, he gently smiled as I told him his room was ready. As he slowly walked to the elevator using his cane, I described his small room to him, including the sheet hung at the window, which served as a curtain. "I like it very much," he said, with the enthusiasm of an 8-year-old boy who had just been given a new puppy. "Sir, you haven't even seen the room yet. Hang on a moment. We're almost there." "That has nothing to do with it," he replied. "Happiness is something I choose in advance. Whether or not I like the room does not depend on the furniture or the decor. Rather, it depends on how I decide to see it. It is already decided in my mind that I like my room. It is a decision I make every morning when I wake up. I can choose. I can spend my day in bed enamorating with all the difficulties that I have with the parts of my body that no longer work very well, or I can get up and give thanks to heaven for those parts that are still in working order. Every day is a gift, and as long as I can open my eyes, I will focus on the new day and all the happy memories that I have made during my life. Old age is like a bank account. You withdraw in later life what you've deposited along the way. For a moment, I thought about the old man's words, and it all made sense. He made me realize that in life, we have to deposit all the happiness we can in our bank account of memories. Like this, we will always have a trove of them to cherish. So I would like to thank you for your part in filling my account with happy memories, which I am still continuing to fill. And I remind you that to live a happy life, you have to free your heart from hate, free your mind from worry, live simply, give more, and expect less. And that's what the wise old man lives by. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete, out of John 15:11. So you remember Eeyore and Tigger in the Winnie the Pooh books? For Eeyore, no matter what amazing circumstance came his way, doom and gloom remained the focus. But for Tigger, bouncing through life without a care in the world, he never perceived anything to go wrong. In our daily lives, it is easy to have the attitude of Eeyore while wishing we could have the outlook of a Tigger. Two quite extreme viewpoints of life. The biblical brand of joy is not simply overcoming our inner Eeyore, nor is it strolling through life in ignorant bliss. Rather, it is to be found in facing each day's ups and downs through the contentment Christ offers. So what gives us true happiness and contentment in life? The first order of business is to identify the difference between joy and happiness. For many folks today, being happy is fully dependent on whether life is all good. If someone asks your life right now on a scale of 1 to 10, often the number given is based on the number of problems present. Happiness slides up and down the scale based on the perception of negative issues going on at that time. Problems rise, happiness goes south. Troubles begin to go away, the happy scale starts to climb. Joy, however, is not dependent on circumstances, and in fact, ironically, can become strongest when trouble comes. And in Psalms, it reminds us the reality of joy that comes when we rest in God's presence. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand, out of Psalm 16:11. Despite my circumstances, I feel inner contentment and understand my purpose in life. Joy has more to do with remaining in the presence of Jesus than with avoiding problems and struggles in our lives. Harkening back to John 15, we know that joy is always available to us when we remain in Christ. Through whatever life begins, let these statements guide you to see how true joy differs from mere happiness. Happiness is a state of mind, while joy is a mindset. Happiness comes and goes, while joy can be consistent. Happiness is dependent, while joy is independent. Happiness is conditional, while joy is unconditional. So the Apostle Paul had learned the secret to joy found in Jesus. And he says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4:11-13. James drives home the definition of joy in the kingdom of God as having nothing to do with eliminating negative outward circumstances, but rather with embracing them as opportunities to strengthen faith and gain resolve. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything, out of James 1:2-4. Note the end result of choosing internal joy, being mature and complete in Christ. Joy becomes the fuel for the believer on the road to maturity. Only Jesus can make our lives flourish in the midst of trouble. In him, joy is strengthened when life is challenging. And finally, there is a source of deep joy available from an intimate place of serving Jesus. So let's take a look at his teachings in Luke 15:3-7. Then Jesus told him this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Joy comes when the lost are found, when we join Jesus in his work by sharing and seeing people come to him. We can be a part of the heavenly celebration right here and right now. So what difference does this make in the way I live? The joy of Christ will replace and reduce stress. Joy becomes a filter which we view life. We're not talking about rose-colored glasses, but about actually having brand new eyes. Joy can change our perspective and our perception of negative circumstances. We aren't simply in denial, sticking our head in the sand, but rather we choose to rise above the circumstances and adopt an eternal mindset. Stress can come from many different factors today. We can worry and fret because we feel we're not in control. Joy is an ongoing reminder that God is in control, that he is in charge of the outcome. The joy of Christ will become contagious through us. As stated earlier, who doesn't want to hang out with a joyful person? Joy lifts others up, just as despair brings them down. If you choose joy on a regular basis, you will not only be a far more approachable and relatable person, but your attitude will rub off on others and make a big impact on all the environments you're in. The joy of Christ will draw others to Christ. An old saying goes, you can't catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. Another adage, often heard in sports setting, is attitude is everything. A person exuding a joy and vigor about life is going to raise the question, what makes him or her so different? When those around us can look at us and see that we choose to express joy, no matter whether life is good or bad at the moment, therein lies the strongest testimony we can offer, even without words. Notice the path we have taken here from an inward focus of ending personal stress to an internal transformation to an outward attraction of people to Christ. As joy grows in the heart and mind of the believer, it infiltrates the soul and then moves outward to impact others, loving God and loving neighbors. You've probably heard the word countenance before. It describes not only the look on your face, but also the look of your face. The last entry in George Orwell's notebooks read, at 50, everyone has the face he deserves. Eventually, your face forms toward your attitude and the perspective you have on life from the inside. When you see people who look angry, but then you realize they're not frowning, that's a bad countenance. But have you seen a bride on her wedding day or a mother seeing her newborn child for the first time? Usually a radiant countenance. How can you tell that something good or bad has happened to someone you're close to, even before they say a word? The countenance as a Christian matures in the virtue of joy. The countenance becomes a gauge of growth. We all have good and bad days. We will all experience life's ups and downs. But has life robbed you of your joy? Are you growing in this virtue? What does your face reflect to others? What does your attitude communicate about your faith? Happiness will be all too fleeting, but the joy of Jesus is available to your soul right now. So Billy Graham had some good quotes about joy, and here they are. Joy cannot be pursued. It comes from within. It is a state of being. It does not depend on circumstances, but triumphs over circumstances. It produces a gentleness of spirit and a magnetic personality. Don't ever hesitate to take to God whatever is on your heart. He already knows it anyway, but but he doesn't want you to bear its pain or celebrate its joy alone. There is no joy in life like the joy of sharing. And when we live apart from God, our lives get out of tune, out of harmony with others and with God. But if we live in tune with the Master, we too will find ourselves surrounded by His beautiful music. Ask God to help you tune your life every day to His Word, so you can bring harmony and joy to those around you. So next, I'm going to play a song for you. I'm kind of like doing that. And the song is called Joyful, Joyful, and it's by the Tommy Walker Ministries. Go ahead and catch him on YouTube. You can subscribe to his channel at Tommy Walker Ministries. Also, he's at TommyWalkerMinistries.com. And here's the song, Joyful, Joyful. Thank you. Hey, what a great song. And the lyrics that I like the best out of that song is joyful, joyful. Lord, we adore thee. God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee. Hail thee as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness. Drive the dark of doubt away. Drive it away. Giver of immortal gladness. Fill us with the light of day. So how do we get our joy back if we've lost it? Were you robbed? Has your joy been stolen? No deadbolt was compromised. No alarm system was set off. You just know at some point your joy had been taken away from you. Was it all of a sudden, or was it a gradual sinking into despair? So subtle, a shift you barely noticed until it was too late. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to its full. John 10:10. The enemy is that despised thief who steals it from us. He tries to mess with us and take everything good that Jesus painstakingly suffered and died for us to have. Through the blood of Jesus at his crucifixion, we have complete authority over the enemy. No matter what he tries to do to us, we always win. The Bible says that Jesus died for us to have a blessed, full, and happy life. The enemy has no place in our lives. He is below us. He is under our feet. When we feel ourselves getting down, depressed, frustrated, or fearful, we must be armed and ready for battle. We must know the Word of God so we are constantly equipped with the necessary defense. God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is Philippians 2, 9-11. The scripture clearly states that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, even those from under the earth. The enemy must bow down to Jesus, and he must flee. How do we get back those things the enemy steals from us? How do we restore and maintain our joy? The good news is that God is in the restoration business. He will give us back double for our trouble and beauty for our ashes. The story of Job in the Bible is an amazing example of God's pure loving kindness and faithfulness. The enemy took everything from Job, his family, his home, his wealth, his joy, and his health. All through this trial, Job praised God and never gave up. Because of his faith, God restored everything back to Job. He gave Job so much more than he ever lost for the trouble and anguish he had to endure. Job let his faith be bigger than his fear, and he got his joy back and was completely restored in every way. The Bible says, where there is pain in the night, joy comes in the morning. We are to have the mind of Christ and be completely transformed in God's image. God says he will fight your battles for you, and you will not even have to lift a finger in your own defense. The great I Am is never too busy or on a God hiatus. He's always ready to fight for us. Call on Jesus. Jesus, he will never leave you or forsake you. He rescues you in times of trouble. He will honor you and deliver you from all evil. He will always cause you to triumph, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. With God, you are always more than a conqueror. When you are feeling down and feel your joy and peace slipping away, get in the presence of God and boldly confess that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Pray continuously and trust that God can and will address all that concerns you. He will fight for you always. He will fight always. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Psalm 16:11. So we need to choose joy. Choosing joy means letting go of the things I can't control, which is most things. Choosing joy means having compassion for others, with all their strengths and weaknesses, and having compassion for myself. Choosing joy means forgiving others and forgiving myself. There is so much forgiveness, so much grace. And choosing joy means to let God put joy in your life. The reason to have joy is simple. It gives us permission to love where we are, what we are doing, and who we are with. Joy adds to our lives and to the lives around us by elevating our sense of self. It gives us hope and makes us happy when life is hard. So I was praying to God and I asked God, what is your take on joy, Lord? What do you have to say? And here's what he relayed to me. No matter what circumstances you're in, look for me for joy, peace, and love. Right now, Bobby, this world is in an uproar and unstable. But I am not in an uproar, and I am very stable. Remember Psalm 18, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. Call on me, and I will make you the example that people need to see. You have me as your rock. So I'd like to end today with a short story that I really like. I want to share it with you. There was a boy whose family was very wealthy. One day, his father took him on a trip to the country where he aimed to show his son how poor people live. So they arrived to a farm of a very poor family. They spent there several days. And on their return, the father asked his son, did he like the trip? Oh, it was great, Dad, the boy replied. Did you notice how poor people live? Yeah, I did, said the boy. The father asked his son to tell him more details about his impressions from their trip. He said, well, we have only one dog, and they have four of them. In our garden there is a pool, while they have a river that has no end. We've got expensive lanterns, but they have the stars above their heads at night. We have the patio, and they have the whole horizon. We have only a small piece of land while they have the endless fields. We buy food, but they grow it. We have a high fence for protection of our property, and they don't need it as their friends protect them. The father was stunned. He could not say a word. Then the boy added, well, thank you, Dad, for letting me see how poor we are. This story shows that the true wealth as well as true joy is not measured by material things. Love, friendship, and freedom are far more valuable. So during this time, which is pretty much, like I said earlier, an uproar, look for God for joy in your life. Take a breath, sit back, and relax. So you guys can catch me again at Positive Light Podcast at gmail.com. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And a thank you out to the Medical Stuff Podcast with Chris and Mark. Just remember they're PG rated, and you can catch them and Positive Light on anywhere you download your podcast for free. And next week's episode is going to be on love. So everybody have a great week. I know it's been a little rough out there on everybody. Choose joy, and we'll catch you next week. Thank you.